Revelation this morning. We're going to do something different today than we've been doing. Thank you. Revelation chapter 1. One of God's prophets. We're going to do a mini study of Revelation this morning.
He had a big message.
Okay.
A big message.
Somebody saying something to me?
What?
He said, go ahead.
Okay. We're going to do a mini study of Revelation. We're going to go through the whole book in this next 3 hours. Amen. We're going to hit some high points that, because we're on the verge of being raptured out. And then there's a tribulation, and that's what we're going to kind of be focusing on. And you might even want to do some marking. Okay, the book of Revelation, John says in this book, I saw 35 times. What he's writing down, he says, I saw it 35 times. He is told to write down the book of Revelation 12 times throughout the book. Think about that now. God wants us to know about it. You know, it's sad that a lot of pastors don't even preach or teach on Revelation at all. A lot of them. And let me say this to you in church today. You do not have to be afraid of the book of Revelation and find it too scary if you're a Christian, because it don't relate to you. It's going to be the judgments against the unsaved. So you need to remember that. And one time, the first time I ever tried to teach the book of Revelation, one of the people in the class said, I'm scared of this book. Hey, she was a Christian. You don't have to be afraid of the book of Revelation. This is for us to know what God's going to do for us. Amen? So it's a mini study. The Bible is prophecy. In the whole Bible, 27% of the Bible is prophecy. And you'll find the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, and Zechariah also helpful in studying Revelation. Those books are very useful in understanding Revelation. And to understand Revelation, you need to know a lot about the Old Testament, because a lot of it's referred back from prophecies that was made a long time ago. Okay, let's look in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. We're going to select out one verse, verse number 3. Blessed is he or she that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Just to hear it or read it, you'll be blessed if you're a Christian person, because you see it's not relating to you with anything fearful or dreadful. And keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, drop down to verse 19 right quick. Here, this is the only book in the Bible that's got an outline. It outlines itself. Verse 19 gives you the outline for the book of Revelation. Scholars say this is the easiest book to understand. When you understand the outline, the way it outlines it. He says in verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen. You see, he's already told right there, write it down now, John. Write it down. Why? Because God wants me and you to know about it, folks. That's why. And the things which are, the things you've seen is in chapter 1 of this book. Chapter 1 is the things seen that John seen. Look, and then he says, and the things which are. The things which are is chapters 2 and 3. They deal with the church age, 2,000 years, chapters 2 and 3. And then he goes on and he says, which shall be hereafter. And chapters 4 through the rest of the book talks about all the future events. So that's a 3-point outline of the book of Revelation that help make it understandable and help us to feel comfortable about this book. Now, the church age in chapters 2 and 3, I don't have time to get into that. We're just passing, giving an overview. But in those 7 churches mentioned in chapters 2 and 3, 7 different churches. And Jesus is seen in the midst of them, in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, which represent those churches. And if you'll read chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, Jesus is commenting on each one of those 7 churches. He's pointing out their good points and their bad points. Those 7 churches are representative churches of church history, and we basically have those kind of churches among us today in the country. And the last church age is the Laodicean church age, which we believe we're in the church age of the Laodiceans. And according to what's written concerning the church of Laodicea, it makes the Lord sick. But what's going on in the name of the church, that's not really church at all. So that's where we're at. Now, chapter 4 in your Bible, we see the throne of God. The throne of God. We see the one sitting on the throne. In chapter 4, look at verses 2 and 3. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, John said, and one sat on the throne. Now, John is writing this from the Isle of Patmos when the Lord appeared to him, and then an angel also is revealing a lot of this to John. John says, I saw a throne and one on the throne, and he that sat was to look like a jasper and sardine stone. That's like a diamond, a shiny diamond. And there was a rainbow around the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So John saw the God of the universe sitting on his throne, and what he was able to describe to us. And let's always remember in the book of Revelation, John don't have a language that's capable of describing what all he sees. He's just doing the best he can. Now, in chapter number 5, you see, again, a scene in heaven. And in verses 6 and 8, you see, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it's been slain, having 7 horns, 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Chapter 4, there's one sitting on the throne. He's got a book in his hand. And here is this one. Looks like a lamb that's been slain. He's approaching this throne. And this one on the throne. And he's going to take that book out of his hand. And what is in this book? What's in this book? You'll find out in chapters 6 through 18, the judgment and the wrath of God upon a world that's rejected Jesus Christ. That's what we'll be finding out in just a few minutes. And so the lamb that was slain is Jesus Christ, who's died for the sins of the world. He's ascended back to heaven, and now we see him in chapter 4, God sitting on the throne, which in chapter 5, the Lamb is before the one on the throne, and he's taking this book now, and he's going to be given the authority to pour out the wrath of God on a Christ-rejecting world. It's going to be awful, folks. It's going to be awful. Now, let's turn over to chapter 6. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. He's got a book that's got seven seals. These are the seal judgments. There are seven of them. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." The noise of thunder represent a storm is coming on this world. A storm is fixed to break out. Judgment has been promised a long time, and finally that day has come. At the beginning of chapter 4, the church was raptured. That's the reason we can see the scene in heaven, Bible scholars tell us. And now, Christ has been worthy to take that book and open the seals because he satisfied God, paid for the sins of all the world. And now he's opened up this first seal. And John says, "I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. He went forth conquering and to conquer." And this is the Antichrist that's going to be revealed to the world. He's going to be a great orator. He's going to be a smooth talker, especially right after the rapture of the church when he comes forth. He's going to come forth and persuade along with the false prophet for men to follow him. And the world is going to, the Bible says that the world is going to accept him. Jesus said, "When another came in his name, you would accept, but me you wouldn't accept." And that's what the world's going to do. You look at our world today, just in our country today, and look how Christianity is being turned against. And you can see it you can see it everywhere today. People are not interested in their soul. People are not interested in God. People's caught up with this, what I want, what satisfies me. Okay, then he opens a second seal, and after the Antichrist has got peace, made peace with Israel, then war breaks out. You talk about war, those 7 years of tribulation. There's going to be war, war, war. You know, a lot of the wars have been across the pond. And we've not had them over here, but they'll be everywhere during the tribulation. War. And then that was a red horse rode out, signifying war. And the third seal is going to be open of this seven-seal book. A black horse is going to ride out. What happens after war? Well, what just happened with this COVID-19 plague we've had? You couldn't even buy paper towels, toilet tissues, and basic needs. And even today, it's still being affected with some things. You can't get sometime parts or other things that you might need. And when there's going to be war during the tribulation time, people's going to be without. You know what that's going to lead to? People starving to death. It'll be in mass starvation with people all over this world when this seal with the black horse rides out and people can't get supplies. And then he says down in verse 7, the fourth seal is going to be open. And a pale horse, verse 8, and him that sat on him was death. Death is riding this pale horse, and hell followed with him. People will be dying. A fourth of the world's population will die. Listen to me. They'll die and go to hell. That's how much destruction is going to be taking place when this seal is open. A fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. That's how they're all going to be dying. Of Going to be a horrible time, folks. Amen. Preacher, you believe this? Every word of it. Amen. I believe every word of it. Why? Because God told John to write it down for us. Amen. And I believe this book. I believe it. And look at verse 9. You see the fifth seal martyrs. Many believers are going to be killed during this time. I mean, it's going to be a wholesale slaughter for believers. It won't be Christians because Christians are in heaven. Christians are only in the church age. There'll be saints during the tribulation. In the Old Testament, they were all saints. In the church age, we're Christians. I hope you understand that. Don't forget that. And they're crying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, don't you judge and avenge the blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Oh, these souls that's under the altar in heaven, they're pleading for vengeance against those that they took their life. Well, ain't that something? That's awful, isn't it, folks? And then if you look over in, I believe it's chapter 8, you'll see the trumpet judgments will start. The trumpet judgments in chapter 8, verses 9. Verse 1 of chapter 8 talks about the seventh seal. When that seventh seal is opened, that'll bring the trumpet judgments. And then in verse 7 of chapter 8, the first angel sounded, and there fell hay, fire, mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. The way it's burning in California, and that's a country overseas. I don't know if it was Greece or what country it was. They got a lot of fires today. But there's going to be a lot of fires during the tribulation time. And he said there's going to be hail and fire mingled with blood that were cast upon the earth. It's going to be a terrible time, folks. Anybody want to volunteer to be here to see all this? Have your camera? Take pictures of it? Yeah. Look in verse 8. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and it looked like a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea becomes blood. Think about the oceans. A third of them become blood. Because this great mountain, it looks like a big mountain, probably an asteroid. You know, they always talk about asteroids now that look like going to hit the earth, but they don't. One of them's going to finally hit it. So there is a third part of the sea becomes blood. And you know what happens when that happens? The fish life, anything in the ocean, that'll kill them. You're going to just have a good stinking mess after a while. Amen. And verse 9, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life died. A third of them all died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Even caused ships to be destroyed when this catastrophe takes place during the tribulation time. Aren't you glad you won't be here? Amen. And verse 10. And the third angel standing there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of waters because they were made bitter. Boy, the water's going to be messed up. I noticed the other day on YouTube, I was looking at all this drinking water. It's full of, the drinking water's not as clean as people make out like. It's got all kind of particles in it. But people like it. Verse 12, the fourth angel sounded and a third part of the sun was smitten. Listen to this one. Now, this is trumpet judgments. They're getting worse than the seal judgments. And the third part of the moon and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Oh, he just let them know it's fixed to get even worse. Folks, this world is not going to be a happy paradise. It's going to be horrible for the people that left here after the rapture. It's going to be horrible. Jesus himself said it's going to be the worst time in human history. Now, chapter number 9, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, the smoke of a furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth. And it was commanded that they should hurt not the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So any person that wasn't sealed by God as being a saved person, these locusts would be stinging them, biting them. And the Bible says it was given that they should not kill them. They wouldn't kill anybody. They just tormented them. That they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was such as the torment of a scorpion that when he striketh a man, and in those days shall men seek to die, they'll try to die, and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. They'll be hurting so bad they're trying to kill themselves, and they can't die. That's tribulation time. Anybody want to join up to be here? This is what's coming for the world, folks. Preacher, you believe it? Every word of it. Every word of it. Why? Why is all this going to happen? Sin. Rebellion. People forgot about God. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Look at verse number 11. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Where the Euphrates River is at, there's four angels in it right now, bound. Isn't that amazing? And the Bible says, and the four angels, they're to loose those four angels which are bound there, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day, a month, a year, for to slay the third part of men. So that their time to be released is already set, preset. And when they're turned loose, a third part of the men. You know, we already saw a fourth has already been killed under the seals. Folks, death's going to be wholesale everywhere. I don't believe nobody's going on vacation during tribulation time. No, they're not going to be on. Now, if you remember back under the seal judgments, I didn't read the sixth seal a while ago, but it talked about when all the great men and the rich men and the powerful people of the earth, when all that destruction was going on under the sixth seal, they went and hid in the rocks and prayed for them, the rocks, to fall on us to kill them from the wrath of the Lamb. They knew who they were up against. They still wouldn't repent. They still wouldn't repent. Did you know some people will not repent no matter what? The Pharaoh wouldn't repent. Some people just won't. They're determined, I'm not going to. Well, that's all right. God's got a place for the unrepentant. He really has. That's a mighty hard heart that won't repent of their sin and see they're wrong. Yeah, it's mighty awful for that to be taking place. Now, in verse 11 of chapter 9, which they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there comes two woes more hereafter. When you see the woes, that means it just gets kicked up another notch. Oh, the terror, the horror, the destruction of the tribulation time. What's going on? What's going on is this. Listen to me carefully. God is removing all sinners off the earth during this 7 years. That's what he's doing. He's taking all the sinners off that won't repent. Why? So Jesus can set up his 1,000-year kingdom. That's why. And everybody that goes in that king is a saved person. But it won't take too long for there'll be unsaved people that'll come from their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, etc. So those are trumpet judgments. Now let's go to chapter 16. Let's skip over to chapter 16 now and look at some of the bold judgments or vile judgments in chapter 16. The Bible says, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way, pour out the vials or bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth. Pour it out on the earth. Now, again, as I've already said, it seems like each series of seven judgments, the seal judgment, then the trumpet judgments, each one is getting more intense, more awful. And now we get into the last one. This is really going to wipe it out, these last seven bowl or vial judgments. And it says, go pour out the vials of the wrath of God. Pour out God's wrath on this earth. God's angry, folks. God puts off judgment just as long as he can. He pleads with men as long as he can. We see that with his dealings with Israel. But God's got a plan. His time runs out. His patience runs out. His program runs out. And he changes to a different program. The Bible says in verse 2, and the first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his name. If you go back in Exodus, you see that happened long ago one time when Moses stood before the Pharaoh, when sore boils came upon the people because of Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go. And you remember poor old Job, how Satan caused him to have sore boils, and he was in such a pitiful state. And I don't know whether y'all ever had a riser or not, but I've had some risings when I was growing up. And those things are painful. They're awful painful. And you think about a body covered with boils, and that's going to be one of the judgments on the bold wrath. Verse 3 says, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. Think about the ocean. And it's like the blood of a dead man, congealed. Everything in it will die. Everything in it will die. Ships won't be able to go. You can also go to Exodus and see that happen too. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water. Listen, this is the fresh water now. Boy, God's really tightening down the screws, isn't he, on this old world? You know our Sunday school lesson today? Old Pharaoh thought, or old Nebuchadnezzar thought he could force those three young men to worship him as God? Hey, if you don't, well, he couldn't do that, could he? Well, God's got his people out. There's a lot of people being saved during this time now, but they're starving. They're going to be martyred. They're going to get killed with violence from people stealing, taking, and killing people to get what others have. It's going to be horrible, folks. That's what the book of Revelation is about, from chapter 6 through 18. And the Bible says, the third angel pointed vial upon the rivers, the fountains of water, and they became blood too. You know what? People don't want the blood of Jesus to wash away their sin, so God's given them blood to drink. You can't outfox God, church. Amen. You can't outfox God. And look at verse 5. I heard an angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, was, shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. In verse 8, we find a fourth angel pours out his vial or bowl upon the sun. Boy, now this is another bad one. He pours out the wrath of God on the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Folks, we think we've seen some hot days. Them's going to be some real scorchers when this angel pours out his bowl of wrath on the sun and people's flesh is scorched. Yeah, I bet no one will be running around in a bathing suit then. Amen. Amen. Ooh. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And listen, and they repented not to give him glory. Boy, see, I just told you a while ago, some people will not repent. They will not repent. God knows about it. Verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. They were in such pain they were gnawing their tongues. Folks, now that's something else. You know, it says that those that Jesus talked about when they die, that there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People grinding their teeth in such intense pain when they die lost. Yet we got this book here to tell us how to be saved. We got this book here to tell us to how to live in a paradise, and it's all free. We got this book to tell us we can live forever in that state. But if you don't want to believe, God gave you what you want. God gave you what you want. Yeah. The fifth angel poured his vial upon the seat of the beast. His kingdom was full of darkness. They gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Oh, verse 12 tells us about the sixth angel. Poured out his vial or bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. This is probably when that army from China comes across, making a way for it to come across. And they're going to be heading down to Israel, to Jerusalem, when all the nations of the world are coming together against the Jewish people. They're all conspiring to get rid of those Jews. They just hate the Jews. And all the nations, if we have a nation of any sort at that time, America will be down there with them to come against Jerusalem. Well, that'll be the end of all the nations. Amen. Amen. They've just took one step too far. The Bible says, and the waters thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. That's the devil, the dragon. And out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. Oh, that's the satanic trinity, the devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet. Yeah. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. God's got it all planned out, church. God's in control of all of this, folks. God's winding it all down. You know what? Today we're even seeing God in the process of doing that with what's going on in our world. Already shooting over to Israel again this past week. I heard the Iron Dome stopped them. But you're going to see a lot of this now. Hey, folks, it's getting serious. And our church is not the only one like this. It's everywhere in some places. Now, if you got some entertainment now, they'll go there. Okay. Look at verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he which watches, keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. You see, God is a getting them all together. They all, you know, today they want to have a one world government, a one world religion. They're going to get it, but then they'll get God. Amen. They'll get God. The Bible says in verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his wrath into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, said, it's done. And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake. Listen to this, folks. Listen, church. Listen. A great earthquake, such was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. All the cities of the world's going to fall down when this earthquake takes place. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Look at verse 20. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. God leveled the mountains, folks. This is awesome, isn't it? This is what's going to happen to this world. And could begin, all got to go is zip, we gone, and things will start slowly getting into play. It might take a year or something, everything to get set up and get to going, but it would be on the way. And then for 7 years, I know we read back, and if we had time to have read in chapter 7 of Revelation, there's going to be so many people saved during that time, you can't count them. Now remember, there's about almost 8 billion people in the world now. But most people are not saved. Most people, by a long way. Verse 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. Scholars say from 80 to 100 pounds each ball of hail. 100 pound. Think about an 80 pound or 100 pound chunk of ice fall out of the sky in the top of this building. It wouldn't even slow up. And it'd bust the concrete probably. And when it was pouring out like hail, folks, it's going to be a bad time to live in the tribulation time. But you think anybody cares about that? This unsaved? Yeah. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail. For the plague thereof was exceedingly great. Each series of these judgments, the seal, the trumpet, the bowl judgments, well, each just kept getting worse. Now let's turn to chapter 19 right quick. Chapter 19. Let's look down at verse number 11. John said, and I saw heaven open. John says, I saw this. I saw it myself, he said. And behold, a white horse. Hey, this is not the same horse in chapter 6. Different horse. Different rider. Amen. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he hath a name written that no man knew but he himself. Boy, isn't that awesome? And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. My understanding is that's us unsaved. Amen. That's us, folks, riding our white horses. I already got my name. Have you named your horse yet? I already got my name. Yeah, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it, listen, this is the Lord Jesus now. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he shall smite the nations. He's going to smite all the nations of the world. There's somewhere around 200 nations right now. Could be over or above. They keep changing because of conquest. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. When Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom, he's going to rule. If anybody starts to sin, probably a Christian will be there to stop them. That'll probably be one of our jobs. God's not going to let people openly sin without being caught and dealt with right on the spot. That's what the Bible teaches. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. God's prepared supper for someone, that he may eat the that ye may eat the flesh of kings, flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him. Can y'all imagine this? They got their little old slingshots. They think it's supersonic. He's just sitting on his stallion. All he's got to do is speak. Amen. Oh, folks, listen. Yeah, the Bible says, and the beast was taken. That's the Antichrist. And with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, the Antichrist and the false prophet, were cast alive. They're not even taken to the great white throne judgment. They just going to be thrown directly into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Wow. Hey, they didn't have nobody to deliver them like the three Hebrew boys, did they? Oh, folks. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with flesh. Jesus Christ is the conqueror. He's going to set up his kingdom. In chapter 20, right quick, verse 11 through 15, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from the face of the earth, the heavens fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, this is after Jesus has ruled and reigned for 1,000 years. The end of the age has come now. God's going to have a new program now. And so, the final judgment for all the lost of all ages is taking place at this great white throne judgment. The Bible says, it talks about where their bodies come from. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they would judge every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. All the unsaved will be cast into this lake of fire. They refuse to believe in the Savior to save their soul. And they chose rather to live for themselves and what this world has to offer. Chapters 21 and 22, briefly, talks about a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be a new heaven. This world here is going to be melted down, cleansed. We believe it's going to be renovated, made over. Some scholars think it'll be an entirely new earth. I don't know, but generally speaking, I think it's going to be melted down and renovated. And it's going to be a new heaven, new earth. And it's going to be even more beautiful than it was when it was first created from the hand of God. A new heaven. And the new Jerusalem over there in chapter 21, a new heaven and a new earth. And you see in chapter 21, we don't have time to deal with it. We see our home, the home of the bride, is described in chapter 21. When you begin to look down in verse 10 and from there on, it describes our new home. that we'll be living in as the bride of Christ. And then in chapter 22, it talks about eternity. We'll be living with the Lord for eternity. And I'll close with this today. The Bible says, and there shall be no more curse. There'll be no more curses after this world has been destroyed and a new creation. There'll be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. We're going to get to see the Lord one day, folks. Hallelujah, what a day that's going to be. Amen. What a day that's going to be. And so I just kind of give you a brief mini tour of the book of Revelation as it focuses on the tribulation time. And yet, what's so sad, people don't fear it's going to happen to them. People don't fear that God would do something like this. God loves me. Oh, yes, he does. But God hates sin. God hates sin. And so think about these thoughts we've shared with you today. What's in for this old world? Keep warning people. And keep praising the Lord that you're not going to be here. Amen. That's the good thing. We're not going to be here. And we're going to be enjoying the Lord for eternity. Living God, thank you for allowing us to share your word. You told John to write it down. Write it down so we'd have it today. I pray that it encourage your people. I pray, Lord, it help us to draw closer to you because of the great love you've shown for us by sending your only son and by giving us your word. And Lord, for placing your spirit within us, we praise you, oh God. There's no God like our God. Oh, we praise thee in the holy and righteous name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And as usual, we give you the opportunity to come to the altar this morning, bow before the Lord to praise him, thank him that you won't be here when judgment comes and when billions and billions of people will be